the truth.
See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup.
You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together. You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference. Make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody. We've been hateful.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour. We're not all the same. I've talked about that before. We're all the same in Christ. And apart, those are, you know, separate groups. The wheat and the tares, perhaps, the sheep and the goats. Anyway, welcome to the top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. The story of Daryl Strawberry that Larry sent me, I appreciate, talked about it in the first hour. Comments to that on the Gateway Pundit. Hats off to you guys over at the Gateway Pundit for republishing that article, Western Journal article by Michael Schwartz about Daryl Strawberry. Hospitalized after a heart attack on Monday, turned 62 yesterday, but no fanfare for a guy with a legendary Major League Baseball career. And to me, that's evidence of the gaslighting, and it's also, it works, serves as the Streisand effect in my mind. Why wouldn't you tell the story of Daryl Strawberry? So I want to get into the Western Journal. But you know what? Maybe the way to do this is, you know, I want to get into the specifics. So I told the story of the Western Journal a little bit. You can go to westernjournal.com/about and you can read this stuff that I'm going to talk about. But this really gets to the heart of the issue of our American founding. Some people have done homework. You know, I've talked about this along the way. Guys like David Berceau. You know, you'll run into names. David Barton is all over the place, the wall builders guy, in the many, you know, like the last 20 years. I mean, the Ben Shapiro interview was a big thing. We've talked about that. I think we even played a clip or two from that, maybe. But, you know, if you slow down David Barton's dizzying flurry of sound bites and you unpack them a little bit, you will find them wanting, I believe. Dubious at best. Membership in a church does not make one anything per se, other than a parishioner and member, perhaps. But, you know, if you look at a guy like Thomas Jefferson, for example, and for those who would say, well, you're just a Jefferson hater, quite the contrary. Anyone who's listened to this broadcast for any length of time will know that I have said that Jefferson and Adams are probably my favorite founding fathers, have been for a long time. That's been under scrutiny and reexamination for quite some time now, but still on the official Road Warrior Radio website as of today, therwr.com. There's still the Jefferson quote from Jefferson to DuPont de Namur in 1816, enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of day. That's still there. That should probably be revised as well. To what? Well, on the platform formerly known as Twitter, the Road Warrior Radio profile on Twitter /X, whatever, features Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And there is the pinned post from October 18, 2022, the Christian battlefront of the modern Western world is metaschematizo, which I've talked about a time or two, from Strong's Concordance G3345 meta. It's the combination, G3345 is the combination of meta, which is G3326, and schema, G4976. So the medium is the message, the pervasive strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians 2:11 of syncretic pluralism normalized, Gnostic, theosophical, pseudo-intellectual. And it really is. So, you know, those things are there, and Jefferson should probably be replaced with those sentiments because of what I'm talking about and what I've been discussing since January 4 this year. And it's controversial stuff, I realize, you know, but reality is reality, and you should be allowed to decide for yourself, which is why I encourage people to investigate these things for themselves and, you know, we can rely on the David Bartons or the David Brousseaus or the Greg Frasers or, but why not just investigate for yourself? We can lean on folks who have gone before us to sort of point us in the direction maybe, or to shine a light on certain things, but we should investigate for ourselves, I think. Because we can handle the truth, right? We don't need somebody on that wall so much as maybe we can walk together side by side. And if you find something that's interesting and you think might benefit and inform my discretion, well, you know, let's share those things with each other. I think that is a better model. Let's see. The first clip, I'm trying to figure out where we draw the line on this. So that would be, I think that's going to work. First clip, Greg Frasier on God Words. From the interview, I actually mentioned this interview recently. Peter Gammon's interview on the Bible Sojourner of Greg Frasier, Worthy American Founding Fathers Christian, with Greg Frasier. Bible Sojourner, February 3rd, 2023. The term God words, I think the way Frasier puts that is fitting. And we'll just let him explain. in at least one clip. Maybe we'll play the other. But I have to get available for that to happen. Otherwise, we can't do that. So, there's the first one. Greg Frazier on God Words. What does he mean? And then we'll play one clip and juxtapose that with what's going on at the Western Journal. Then maybe we'll play the second clip from the same interview. But I think this, you know, I think he does a fantastic job of explaining. And by the way, speaking of, you know, pointing to certain resources, pointing the way and saying, you know, do your own homework. And Greg Frazier is a guy who has said, you know, he talked about David Berceau in this interview, actually, I think. Yeah. So, without further ado, the first instance of the God Words referenced by Greg Frazier, starting around the 19 minute 50 second mark in this hour and 11 or so minute interview, Greg Frazier in his own words. Go ahead, please.
Push back a little bit, because I think people would want, I know people who are listening or watching this would say, now wait a second, I've read the Constitution. You know, I've read some of the founding documents, and it seems like they're using religious language. It seems like they're Christian. It seems like they're using that assumption behind their worldview, if you will. So how do we know that they're not Christian? Like, what is the evidence for that?
Okay, so concerning the Constitution, If you look at the Constitution, you won't find biblical terms for God. You find other than the word creator, okay? But everybody believed in a creator back then. The deists believed in a creator too. There was before Darwin. So everybody believed there was a creator. But you won't find biblical terms for God. You find what I call God words. You know, things like divine hand and author and so forth. In the case of the Constitution, you have nature's God, you have the supreme judge of the universe, etc. And so what you've got there, and by the way, we're religious, okay? So the fact that there's religious language and talk of God, etc., shouldn't be surprising. They were religious, but they created their own God, essentially, and their own religion. You know, it's often said... Well, I mean, the Bible says that God created man in his image. And my conclusion at the end of my book is that they returned the favor and created God in their image. Hmm. And that's fundamentally what they did. So they were religious. And it's not surprising that there's talk of God and so forth. But Jefferson, who was a theistic rationalist, was also a very clever guy. And he's trying to gain maximum support for the Declaration of Independence. So he writes the Declaration of Independence very strategically and cleverly with language that everybody can read their own system into it, which is why everybody embraced it, and everybody still does today. And on the left, they'll say, see, it's a deistic document or a rationalist document, and the Christians say, see, it's a Christian document. That's because Jefferson wrote it cleverly to make it appeal to everybody. Everybody can read their own view into it. If you don't just take it on its own and look at the basis on which he said that he wrote it, and he talked about the sources for it, and it wasn't the Bible. Hmm. And John Adams, who was also on the committee, talked about the sources for it, and it wasn't the Bible. And so so people see what they want to see when they look at the Constitution. But there's nothing specifically Christian in it. That's the key.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's super helpful. And I remember you talking about that in a couple of your talks as well with regard to its, you know.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I said the Constitution, I meant the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, but the Constitution is the same thing. You know, one of the big criticisms of the anti-federalists who opposed the Constitution was they called it a godless Constitution because it doesn't mention God.
Hmm.
And it was the first nation, it was the first national founding document in, I think, in world history, certainly in Western civilization, that didn't mention God.
Wow.
And so, now, I mean, that was one.
Okay. So, I mean, is that not ironic? Think about where we are now. We have people arguing, David Barton is probably the most well-known, arguing these are Christian documents with no biblical language, zero. Explainers that tell us, nope, not biblical. And the first documents, I mean, so we live in the post-Darwinian era, you might call it. Kind of like, in more recent terms, we live in the post-9/11 era. So young people don't remember a time when you didn't have to get frisked and full cavity body searches to fly anywhere. You know, the rest of us remember a time when grandma would fly generally unmolested to visit the children and grandchildren, and the family would go greet grandma at the airport. It was a wonderful time. It was so fun. Get the family dressed up, go to the airport, be waiting at the gate to greet grandma. She's so excited. The grandkids jump into her arms. Those were good days. That was fun. Now, you know, we have what we have where, you know, you have to be frisked, maybe strip searched because you might be a terrorist, except we've never caught any except for those, you know, that have been fed into the system for Hollywood endings to further geld and inure the people. And, you know, you're not supposed to travel anyway. Why don't you just shut up and live in your 15-minute city and eat bugs and life will be good. So, you know, it's interesting, again, back to the post-Darwinian era when we live in such a godless society, any vestige of, you know, anything that we can reach to and say that will substantiate a claim that is really baseless, we want to grab at that and say, well, you know, but like Greg Fraser said, one of the big criticisms of the anti-federalists who opposed the Constitution was that they called it a godless Constitution because it doesn't mention God, and it was the first national document, founding document in the world that didn't do that in Western civilization. So to hold America up as a Christian nation with all of this backdrop in view is obviously problematic. I think we'll play a couple more clips from Greg Fraser's interview. And, you know, also another thing that's interesting to observe is his remark about people see what they want to see. You know, the way he said that. People see what they want to see. So, you know, he says, Jefferson explained the sources for that turn of phrase, not biblical. Adams explains, not biblical. So when people look at this language, Jefferson wrote it cleverly, as Fraser says, and people see what they want to see. Isn't that interesting? Because, I mean, it's a reflection of Jefferson himself. As I have mentioned, short, Mr. Jefferson's Jesus was modeled on the ideas of the Enlightenment thinkers of his day, bore striking resemblance to Jefferson himself, as Marilyn Mellows put it in her article in the PBS Frontline series, From Jesus to Christ, back in 1998, which is similar to Sarah Young's Jesus. Imagine that. As Tim Challies pointed out, Maybe I'll mention that when we come back as well. Stick around. I'll be right back after this short break.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye. always remember I still want you. And in case.
All right. Welcome back. Yeah. You know, that comes in at the best moment, so I just want to play it. Extended musical interlude. So God words, and then David Brousseau, Greg Fraser's mention of these things again, you know, with the second reference to the term God words that he used, he's discussing George Washington. And, you know, it's interesting how when we start going down this rabbit hole, when you start doing your own homework on America's founding, Christian or not Christian, you know, characteristically Christian or not Christian, invariably you will come to explainers that don't explain. And things that we have to explain away, if that makes sense. You know, Washington's Masonic affiliation, for example, Jefferson's what I might call glowing endorsement of not just Weishaupt, but all of the most illuminized figures of the French Revolution. You know, those kinds of things, from a Christian perspective, especially when you're there on the ground witnessing these things and the intrigue and deception, really? Problematic. And then there's all of the other stuff as you dig deeper into the influences of, you know, guys like Baruch Spinoza or, what's his name? You know, in the letter to his nephew, Jefferson's nephew, Peter Carr, in which he describes Jesus, the description that Marilyn Mellows mentions, a man of illegitimate birth, of a benevolent heart and an enthusiastic mind, who set out without pretensions of divinity, ended in believing them, and was punished capitally for sedition by being gibbeted according to the Roman law. You know, this is Jefferson's description in his letter to his nephew Peter Carr, and there's a background there. But in that same letter, Jefferson writes of Lawrence Stern. You know, Stern and Spinoza are among the authors on the list of forbidden literature. What's the Latin term for it? I forget. Anyway. And there's a reason, but really all that did was point people to that list. Anyway, so, you know, you start to find those kinds of things and these influences that are just patently unbiblical, unchristian. But we live in the humanistic age. And what do you know? The same old first deception that works so well, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil, it's still working, which is why Marilyn Mellows rightly concludes, in short, Mr. Jefferson's Jesus modeled on the ideals of the Enlightenment thinkers of his day. Ye shall be as gods, that's what they thought, bore a striking resemblance to Jefferson himself, who, you know, an intellectual giant by the world's standards. Back to Tim Challey's on Sarah Young. Didn't finish that thought, but I'll do that, and we'll play the other two clips when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So it's interesting that, you know, we look at these documents and we find what, who and what we want to find, which is a provocative observation. Again, mentioned, you know, Marilyn Mellows and her piece, Thomas Jefferson and his Bible. PBS Frontline, From Jesus to Christ, back in 1998, she concludes, in short, Mr. Jefferson's Jesus modeled on the ideals of the Enlightenment thinkers of his day, which again, the Enlightenment was patently unchristian, unbiblical, anti, you know, anti-Christian, anti-biblical. Bore a striking resemblance to Jefferson himself. And, you know, Tim Challies concluded the same thing about Sarah Young's Jesus and Jesus Calling, so-called, which Jesus? His article, Tim Challies' article, November 11, 2015, titled 10 Serious Problems with Jesus Calling. Number 8 in his list of 10, he says, her tone does not match the Bible's. It can't be denied the Jesus of Sarah Young sounds suspiciously like a 21st century Western middle-aged woman. What a coincidence. And so, you know, I mentioned a couple other things. Jefferson's letter to his nephew Peter Carr, August 10, 1787, where he gives the description of Jesus. And there's context there, to be sure. That description that I read that Marilyn Mellows mentions in her piece. And this has been kicked around. Anyway, there certainly is context there. But, you know, in that same letter, Jefferson writes about Lawrence Sterne. He says, the writings of Sterne particularly form the best course of morality that ever was written. Really? The Bible is not... I thought Jefferson was a Christian, we're supposed to believe. The writings of Sterne, Lawrence Sterne, of all people, particularly form the best course of morality that ever was written. That's what Thomas Jefferson said to his nephew, Peter Carr. And like I said, Sterne was among those... A Sentimental Journey Through France and Italy was on the list of prohibited works, Index Librorum Prohibitorum. And, you know, it's just interesting how, again, the Streisand effect works, the gaslighting and the Streisand effect. So, you know, the Index Librorum Prohibitorum really served to kind of point people's attention to these things. This is a way to create a reading list in reverse sort of fashion, if that makes sense. But then you look at the other lists, like the list of, let's say, Encyclopedia Britannica's great books of the Western world. And looking at that list of many volumes... numerous volumes. Is the Bible on that list anywhere? Curiously absent. Or you look at the Harvard Classics, for example, the effort by Harvard University President Charles W. Eliot and William A. Nielsen to create the Harvard Classics. The Bible in that list? Nope. Oh, but there's an explainer. The English Bible was excluded. Why? Explainer, because Eliot and Nielsen felt that almost every household would already possess at least one copy. This is Romans chapter 1. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. What happens next? If you haven't read Romans chapter 1, it's definitely worth reading, and you will see, I think, that it bears striking resemblance to America, modern America. So that's the explainer that you can read even on the Wikipedia entry for the Harvard Classics. Eliot describes his goal in helping publish the Harvard Classics as motivated by an educational purpose, and he explains why the English Bible was not selected. I see. So there's no value in the Bible. It's still taught in universities at graduate levels, even some of the books, as great literature, great history. Interesting how it's excluded from lists like the Great Books of the Western World, Encyclopedia Britannica, or Harvard Classics. Funny that. So, back to kind of where we were. Second clip of Greg Fraser talking about George Washington in this case. The backdrop is George Washington, but that reference to God words. Can we play that? Second clip, please.
most direct, plainest, easiest, and least liable to exception. This is because Washington believed in multiple roads to heaven. These theistic rationalists believed that there were various roads or ways to get to heaven. And so he said, I'm not a bigot to any type of motive. I don't have a particular commitment to any type of worship, but people who believe in Christianity, I'm inclined to let them believe what they want and take the easiest road to heaven that they can find. He studiously avoided mentioning the name of Jesus. In 20,000 plus pages of his writings, there's only one reference to the word Jesus, Jesus Christ, or Christ. And that reference is not in his handwriting. It is not accepted by, as Washington's, by the Smithsonian or the Washington Papers Project. It was written by an aide of his who was a Christian. He had an aide who was a Christian, and sometimes the aide would put Christian language in what in speeches or communiques that he was sending out, and then Washington would change it. For example, I mentioned before this concept of God words in the Declaration of Independence. Washington always used God words in place of any term specific to Christianity, the Bible, or any other religion. Words like divine hand or author or things like that, or providence. For example, in a speech to Indian leaders that were written by this Christian clerk, he crossed out the word God and substituted the Great Spirit above. Now, why did he do that? Because to the Indian leaders, they view God as the Great Spirit above. And to him, it doesn't matter because God can have a bunch of different names. It's not the Christian God. It's not the triune God of the Bible. It's not Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. And so you can substitute other names, and it doesn't matter if that's what helps the Indians, think about God. I don't know if I want to go down this road too much, but his use of God words and his belief that all roads lead to God are best understood when one remembers that Washington was an enthusiastic Freemason. Now, those who push the Christian America idea will tell you that Washington, yeah, he was technically a Freemason, but he didn't ever do anything with it. Well, he laid the Capitol cornerstone in a Masonic apron with a Masonic trowel. His favorite portrait of himself was him in his Masonic regalia. And there is a George Washington Masonic memorial, including the chair that he sat in as the master of the Alexandria Lodge. So,
yeah. So, like I said, things that have to be explained away, right? Obviously, that kind of, that historical background has to be explained away if you're going to try to insinuate that the American founding, from a leadership perspective, was even remotely Christian, which it was not. Does that mean that there weren't Christians, and there wasn't a Christian ethic in America? Of course there was. That's why the language had to appeal to those people broadly. That's why the God words were written in. So that these people weren't run out of town on a rail. And there was skepticism, healthy, and there was criticism of all of this, as Craig Fraser mentioned. Anyway, there is the last bit that we should get to. Last clip. Let me do that real fast. And then we'll move on. But, as Americans, shouldn't we know this stuff? And bad guys rely on us not knowing. Talked about that too. Maybe I'll mention that again. Bad guys rely on us not knowing. So, last bit from this, again, this video we're playing clips from is titled "Were the American Founding Fathers Christian?" with Greg Fraser, It's the Bible Sojourner YouTube channel, the interview of Greg Fraser by the host of the Bible Sojourner, Peter Gammon. And in this final clip, Greg Fraser mentions David Bursell. So can we do that, please?
That it's not. Mark Knoll is pretty well known in the Christian community as the foremost Christian historian. Mm. And this is one of his better works, in my opinion. And then there's a really obscure book. I think it's self-published, but I think it's really good. It's called In God We Don't Trust. Mm. In God We Don't Trust.
Provocative and, title.
Yes. It's by David Bercot, B-E-R-C-O-T. And the substance of the title, it's all about the American Revolution and how the American colonists did not trust God, and that's why they rebelled. Hmm. And so that's where the title comes from. It's saying on behalf or in the place of the American colonists at the time, in God we don't trust, so we need to rebel. And so it's really good. It's good kind of for homeschoolers and stuff too, because it's not written on a really high level, and it kind of explains a lot of things and looks at things from a biblical.
Yeah. So, there you go. I didn't even see that we had James. My apologies to James. Feel free to call back in. Didn't see that. So Greg Fraser mentions not just David Bursell. It's David Bursell, not Bercot or Bacot, but it's pronounced Bursell, B-E-R-C-O-T. But he mentioned Mark Knoll as well. And Mark Knoll has written provocatively on the subject too, Searching for a Christian America, etc. He's among the folks who have written about this. And there are others. But, you know, why don't we hear about this? Why don't we hear about guys like Greg Fraser? Or, you know, Ben Shapiro is interviewing David Barton. Is he interviewing Greg Fraser? Have Greg Fraser, you know, and all these guys on at the same time. As many of these guys as you can. Get them all on. Not that you want to gang up, but because they're a wealth of information. Let them flesh out the perspective that David Barton has presented in a very blustery, truncated sort of way, I would say. Every time David Barton shows up, he's a wind tunnel. He's a fountain of turbulent information, and you're not supposed to slow him down and say, okay, pause, let's unpack each one of these things that you're talking about. But if you do that, if you go through, for example, the Ben Shapiro interview of David Barton, and you just unpack each one of those things that he says, or juxtapose it even with this video of Greg Fraser unpacking those kinds of things, it sort of debunks the things that David Barton is saying. It certainly begs further investigation. And the more you look into it, the more it seems like David Barton is really trying to create the perception of something that really isn't substantiated and that he wants to believe, which sounds strikingly similar to what Marilyn Mellows writes about Jefferson's Jesus and what Tim Challies writes about Sarah Young's Jesus. Isn't that funny? So we have a penchant, a remarkable penchant for this in America, to want to invent these things. This takes us back to the Western Journal and about the Western Journal. So I read that. As a, you know, in relation to the Daryl Strawberry article by Michael Schwartz over at the Western Journal, republished at Gateway Pundit. So what about the Western Journal? Continuing, in contrast, shall we say, to our founding documents, is America a Christian nation? Well, do you find biblical language, biblical references to God, or any scriptural references directly in our founding documents? No, you do not. But listen to what the Western Journal lists on their about page, under continuing from the section titled Mission Coverage Priorities. Mission/coverage priorities. The Western Journal is an online media publication and streaming service that creates educating, entertaining, and informative digital content through the lens of traditional American values. Now, what does that mean? The Western Journal serves as a trusted source of news, commentary, and entertainment regarding the stories and views that remain untold by establishment media sources. I think establishment could be capitalized there. That's just me. As a values-based news organization, we believe that it is vitally important that we are transparent about our beliefs and how they may affect our coverage priorities. Now, that's interesting. Isn't that interesting? So what do they believe? We believe that we should be open about the values we hold as outlined below. What values? Well, continuing, in our news coverage, we do not support political parties in our news coverage. So, in our news coverage, we do not support political parties, politicians, or candidates. In our opinion and commentary sections, we sometimes support ideas that those parties or personalities espouse. Even more important than supporting policies we agree with editorially is our obligation to readers to give a complete picture of the truth, regardless of our beliefs. We therefore sometimes report facts at variance with points of view we may hold. Letting the facts speak for themselves and allowing readers to make up their own minds. What a concept. The Western Journal upholds, here it comes, Christian values as articulated in the Bible. Well, there it is in simple terms, but wait, there's more. These values include beliefs in original sin, the fallen nature of man, the exclusivity of Christ, the need for government to restrain men from injuring each other, the fundamental value of every human life, including those of the unborn, a rejection of racism in all forms, and the definition of marriage as between one man and one woman. The Western Journal advocates for broadly conservative positions on most issues, including abortion, national defense, small government, marriage, tax policy, and individual freedom. Values. All ethics and editorial standards stem from the following values. Okay. Freedom. At the Western Journal, we believe that individuals are granted God-given liberties. Are we going to lean into founding documents language? Wait for it. At the Western Journal, we believe that individuals are granted God-given liberties and the autonomy to live in obedience to God's will as outlined in 1 Peter 2:16. Freedom extends beyond mere personal liberties. It includes the freedom to practice and share one's faith openly, engage in traditional family values, and a commitment to upholding moral absolutes as understood from the Bible. Faith. At the Western Journal, faith is a guiding principle that influences the ethos, culture, and actions of the organization based on the teachings and beliefs of the Bible. So faith, while faith is not created equal, to say faith-based doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's an obfuscative escape hatch term. And I'm not criticizing what they're saying. I'm saying, broadly speaking, out in the world, you hear faith-based this and that, which is usually ecumenical, which is usually leaning towards Satanist, you know, satanic, moving in that, trending in that direction. Self, you know, reinforcing back to the, you know, first deception, ye shall be as gods. So, Continuing, this value influences how we treat our community of subscribers, readers, viewers, and followers. It guides us in our business practices, pursuing truth and upholding traditional values. We believe in seeking God's guidance and wisdom through a culture of prayer. Seeking God's guidance and wisdom through a culture of prayer. Colossians 3:17 tells believers, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Family. The Western Journal recognizes the sacred significance of the family unit and embraces the traditional nuclear family as shaped by the Bible. Traditional nuclear family is shaped by the Bible. We believe that marriage is sacred, is a sacred covenant between one man and one woman, as outlined in Matthew 19:4-6. This covenant forms the basis for a strong family unit built on love, commitment, and mutual respect. This is in contravention to the Plato's Republic and the professional nurses that raise children. This covenant forms the basis for a strong family unit built on love, commitment, and mutual respect. We acknowledge the importance of providing a stable and nurturing environment for children to flourish. Providing a stable and nurturing environment for children to flourish, not the kindergarten. Our commitment to the traditional nuclear family is rooted in biblical values of love, forgiveness, compassion, and selflessness. We believe that strong families contribute to the well-being of society and leave a lasting impact on the world. Equality. The Western Journal upholds Genesis 1:27 that individuals possess inherent worth, dignity, and rights because they are created by God in His image. This includes the protection of vulnerable individuals and advocating for policies that uphold the value of every human being from conception to natural death. We also recognize the fall of man that led to a separation between humanity and God, causing the presence of sin, moral brokenness, and evil in the world. That separation can only be restored through Jesus Christ. God's love and salvation are extended to all who put their faith and trust in Him. Do we read any of this stuff in our founding documents, any of the founding documents? More scriptural references, Romans 13:1, Exodus 18:21, Colossians 3:23, Romans 13:1-7. Do you read any of that in our founding documents? It wasn't difficult for the Western Journal to figure out. I think they made their position clear. Anyway, for whatever it's worth, this is, you know, this is clear and plain language, I would say. Not sophistry. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site.
It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.